So I consider myself quite blessed to be a priest and to serve people. I love helping people in many ways, and as a priest, I get to help people in their spiritual journey, making their way towards heaven. I get to help people be prepared for the sacraments, where they can receive God's abundant grace and have their relationship with our Lord strengthened. And of the sacraments, one of them that I have the joy of helping people prepare for is the sacrament of marriage, the sacrament of matrimony. When couples would come to me interested in pursuing the sacrament of marriage, we would discuss a little bit about it. I give them kind of an outline of how that process works. But I would also emphasize the most important thing is the marriage, not the wedding. Sometimes couples come and they want to kind of dive right into the ceremony, but the ceremony is only about an hour or an hour and a half, and it's only the very beginning of the rest of their lives together in marriage. And so the marriage itself is far more important than the wedding. But what exactly is marriage? Well, we can look to our readings to get some insight into this. In our first reading, we hear about the very first marriage, the marriage of Adam and Eve. After God creates Adam, he wants to create a companion for Adam. And so he starts creating all sorts of different creatures, but none of them are suitable partners. None of them are his equal. And so God then creates Eve. And she is his equal in dignity. She is a suitable partner. And we are told that the two become one flesh, that they become united. What exactly does this mean to become one flesh? It's like the two have become one body. The two are so intimately united in such a close way that they are inseparable. St. John Paul II, when he talks about marriage, he describes four different aspects. He says that it must be free, that a person can't be forced into it. They must choose it for themselves, that the spouses are to be faithful, that they are to share with each other in a special way, in the sacrament of marriage, in a way that they do not share themselves with anyone else. It is to be total, that husband and wife are not to hold anything back from each other. They are to give themselves fully and completely to each other, not hiding anything from the past, not preventing anything from the future of their relationship together, intending for their future to be together for the rest of their lives, because they're giving themselves totally and completely to each other. And in this total gift, there's also the gift of their fertility. And so marriage is also to be fruitful, or at least open to new life, because the love of husband and wife is to be so powerful that it needs a name 9 months later. And so these aspects, free, faithful, total, fruitful, are what we mean by one flesh, that they've become so intimately united. This is such an important point, we have it reiterated by Jesus in our gospel passage. He tells us exactly what we heard in our first reading. He said, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. But then Jesus adds to it, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate. We believe in the Catholic Church that what Jesus says is true, that when God joins husband and wife together in the sacrament of matrimony, it becomes an unbreakable bond. They can't be separated. But his disciples questioned him about this, and so Jesus drives this point further, making it abundantly clear. He says, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Jesus is saying that divorce is not possible. That if this truly is a sacramental marriage, husband and wife are come together and they've become one flesh, it cannot be broken. That bond of marriage cannot be broken. And it doesn't matter what a civil authority says about it. Now, that being said, Jesus makes it clear that divorce isn't an option, but sometimes people, through no fault of their own, find themselves in a situation of divorce. What do I mean by that? We live in a country where it only takes one of the two to file for divorce in order for it to happen. And God tells us that it is not to happen. And the church doesn't recognize civil authority over marriage because it doesn't have authority over sacraments. And so if someone is married, they have a sacramental marriage, and then they go get a civil divorce. As far as God and his church are concerned, they are still married. Now, it is different if for whatever reason something was lacking in that attempt at marriage. That would be a different question. But to say that a marriage was formed and then can be broken would be a denial of what Jesus tells us in our gospel passage today. It would contradict sacred scripture. It would contradict the vows that husband and wife exchange. In those vows, they promise themselves to each other for the rest of their lives. And the church takes that seriously, and so does God. But why? Why is it taken so seriously? Why does the church hold this position? Well, because of what it represents. If we remember what a sacrament means, it's an efficacious sign of grace, perceptible to the senses, instituted by Christ and entrusted to his church. That's a sacrament in general. How does that apply then to the sacrament of marriage? What is this efficacious sign? Husband and wife, what do they represent? How are they bringing about grace? Husband and wife represent Jesus and his bride, the church. And the two are inseparable. Jesus would never leave his bride, and his bride would never leave him. And so if husband and wife in sacramental marriage represent Christ and his church, what would that mean if they separated? It would contradict the union of Christ and his church. And so that would be a form of blasphemy, because Jesus would never leave the church and the church would never leave him. And so the sacrament of marriage is very important because of what it represents, what it says, what it brings about. When husband and wife, they live the sacrament of marriage well, they bring about a closer union of Christ and his bride, the church. More grace of God is released through their holy marriage because they live it out in accordance with God's will. Other people can see that example. They can see how they give life to each other, how they're excited about each other. And that gives life to the rest of the community. But this is kind of a tall order. I mean, if they're supposed to represent Christ and his bride, the church, and Jesus, who loved his bride so much, he was willing to die on the cross for her sake, how is anyone supposed to live up to that kind of standard? Well, God doesn't command anything without offering the grace to make it possible. But just because the grace is being offered doesn't mean it's received. If somebody tries to give us a gift and we don't want to have it, then we don't receive it. So husband and wife, they need to be open to the grace of God. They need to be willing to ask the Lord for his assistance. They need to keep God first in their lives. Sometimes people get confused and think, oh, well, my spouse has to be number one. No, God has to be number one. That's what the first commandment tells us. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other God before me. God has to be the top priority. And this is actually better for the spouses if God is first. And that may sound strange, but it's true. Because if God is first, then through our relationship with God, our capacity to love is expanded. Our ability to love is greater because of that relationship with God. And we who have just our limited human love, when we're in relationship with God and that grace is flowing, we can then also love not just with our love, but with the divine love of God. And that is quite an awesome and amazing gift. And so God must come before the spouse. And then after that, children. Sometimes Spouses decide that it's easier to put the children above their own spouse. And they think that somehow that's better for the family. It's not. The spouse has to come before the children, because it's through and with the spouse that the children can be raised. If the children take a higher priority over the spouse, then the spouse gets neglected, the marriage starts to fall apart, there are serious problems, the kids see the tension between mom and dad, and they don't know how they're supposed to live a life of love, because mom and dad are their example that they see every day. And so if mom and dad keep each other first, it's best for the children. And so the proper order is God, spouse, children. When I gave this homily earlier this morning, a couple came up to me afterwards and they said, "Father, what you said was so true. Our first 10 years of marriage were very rocky, but then when we put God first in our lives, things got a lot better." And so this isn't just me making this up. This is reality. This is God's plan. And the fact that two imperfect people come together, they need to constantly be filled with the grace of God in order to work through those imperfections, in order to be able to forgive each other for when they don't do what they ought or they do something that they shouldn't, so that they can more easily forgive one another. And when it comes to marriage, there must be an abundance of love. But what do we mean by this love? I remember hearing a story of a man who went to a priest and he said to him, "Father, I'm having problems in my marriage. I don't love my wife anymore." And the priest simply responded, "Love your wife." And he said, "Father, you don't understand. I don't feel that way." And the priest said, "No, you don't understand. Love isn't a feeling, it's a choice. Choose to love your wife. Will the good for her." Now, early on in a marriage, there are feelings to help husband and wife to make that choice of love. But as the marriage continues, those feelings kind of dissipate. The honeymoon period passes, and then that choice has to be made more by the strength of the will, by the decision, choosing to love the spouse and not just coasting on feelings. Love is not a feeling. It's willing the good of the other. And for those who are married, willing the good of their spouse is how they love their spouse. But there needs to be humility. And although God's love never fails, our human love, because we are weak, we are broken, sometimes we fail to make that choice of love. Or sometimes it's very hard for us to make that choice of love. And so humility is needed, not only to receive the grace of God in prayer, but to receive the assistance of God even through other people. If someone's having a hard time, to be able to talk to a trusted person, perhaps a friend, perhaps a priest, maybe a counselor, to help them work through this obstacle, this difficulty, this challenge that they have in their relationship. If their communication isn't working out so well, maybe to go on a retreat that's designed for married couples to improve their communication so that it can be this joyous and loving relationship that God intends. But there needs to be humility on the part of husband and wife. That humility to seek help. Again, seeking help by the grace of God. Seeking help in prayer, not only personal prayer. Yes, God has to be first, and we need to pray every day for the sake of our own holiness and salvation, but also husband and wife coming together, praying to God together, approaching God together, sharing with God in the presence of one another. It's interesting how many couples come to me for marriage prep, and they've never prayed together before. But when husband and wife are willing to open their hearts, not only to God directly, but also to God in front of their spouse, then together, approaching God, they grow in holiness. But they also grow closer to each other, because they're revealing something about themselves to each other when speaking to God. For married couples who haven't prayed together before, I usually say start with something easy. Like right before going to bed, just express to God in the presence of your spouse something you're grateful for. That's pretty non-threatening. That's pretty easy. It's a place to start. It's a place to grow together in holiness. And that humility is needed. In the sacrament of matrimony, our Lord tells us that it's unbreakable. Let no man separate them. But God doesn't command us to do anything unless he provides that grace. And so the grace of God for a marriage to be successful, to fulfill those vows till the end of their lives, is possible if there's that openness to the grace of God, to receive that and to be with him. The church seeks to help couples be ready for the sacrament of matrimony. In the marriage preparation process, we cover the typical, the common, the usual sources of tension so that those conversations take place even before there's a marriage. So that should any of them actually happen, they've already discussed it. And so it's easier when they've started sharing their lives together to work through or get past that obstacle, having gone through that marriage prep process. And the church wants to prepare them for their lifelong relationship that is marriage, and not just the ceremony, the wedding. And it's very important to the church, not only for the sake of having good, healthy, happy, holy members of the body of Christ that is the church, but also because husband and wife represent Christ and his bride, the church. And so it's very important that they are ready to enter into that sacrament, to be open to that grace, to help them live out that vocation. We who are members of the church are members of the bride of Christ. And just as how husband and wife are to give themselves completely and totally to each other, God gives himself completely and totally to us. Jesus gave himself up on the cross, and that sacrifice is made present to us through sacramental signs at the altar, Jesus coming to us fully and completely, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. We say, the body of Christ, Jesus is giving himself, his flesh, to us who have bodies, so that our flesh and his flesh become one flesh. The bride of Christ being united with her husband, Jesus, at every Mass. A total gift, a union of persons taking place. A profound level of intimacy for those who are aware of what's going on, for those who recognize our Lord in the Eucharist. And so it's important for us to be ready, to prepare for that union that takes place in Holy Communion. And that offering, as Christ offers himself totally to us, we, during the sacrifice taking place at the altar, are to all offer ourselves totally to him. And so let us prepare ourselves for that exchange and for that union with Christ in the most Holy Eucharist.
Sadly, there are some of us who do suffer from the experience of divorce. If you or someone you know have had such an experience, please also know that there is hope and healing available, that the church can help you to rectify the situation and help you to find peace. So please come and see a priest or a deacon to help you in this process of recovery.